The following shiur has been presented by Rav Ari Marburger, Dayan at Beis Din Meisharim and author of Business Halacha, and has been brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
Perek HaSeicher HaSeomnim discusses the obligations that an employer and employee have to each other. Bemis, our entire life is surrounded by this type of relationship between an employer and employee. Every time a person makes a doctor's appointment, he hires a cleaning lady, he hires a babysitter, he hires a teenager to mow his lawn. What he has actually done is he has set up this relationship between an employer and employee. Our parak of Asaycha Somnin will discuss the halachas that govern this relationship, what circumstances one may back out of such relationship, what the consequences of backing out of such relationship are, and the Mitzvah will see the parameters of this obligation. Now, when we think into it, we will realize that the foundation of Klal Yisrael is really built on the trustworthiness of this employer-employee relationship. When Yaakov Avinu went to Golus, he went to Lavan, he worked for Lavan faithfully for 14 years, and at the end of that time, Lavan wanted to go and he wanted to actually Rami Yavid Asavi. He actually wanted to destroy Yaakov and this budding Klal Yisrael, this remnant of this budding Klal Yisrael. What Lavan threatened to destroy, Yaakov was able to escape the clutches of Lavan by his being able to pronounce to Lavan, to declare to Lavan that the extreme faithfulness that he had in his employment. He was able to declare to Lavan, "Yisi b'yoyim achlani chayiv." I would work by day and the heat would consume me, the karach balayla, and the coldness, the iciness of night, and treifa lo yevesi elecha, neichiyachatena, I would not bring anything that was broken, ripped apart, I would pay for it. This declaration was what enabled Yaakov to escape the clutches of Lavan. Now, maisa avisim in Labanim, this really characterizes Klal Yisrael in the Golus, and in a deeper sense, this really, we can understand this in but the pasuk says lahagid b'boker chastecha v'munasa b'leilos. The midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has b'leilos at night when it's difficult is the midah of emuna. In other words, Hashem's his unwavering commitment to His word, to establish whatever He says, He'll do, no matter what the circumstances are. That is the midah of b'leilos. That is the midah that is prevalent, that is expressed kaviyachol during the times of difficulty. The way we can relate to this word of Hashem is by our own commitment to this to fidelity to our word. When we are a nation that will be faithful to our words, then we're able to associate ourselves with this midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sustains us and through the Golus and will ultimately redeem us from the Golus. And the Navi says that the Geula, the ultimate Geula which we yearn for, will happen to She'eris Yisrael, that those that remain, the remnants of Klal Yisrael, those among us who are She'eris Yisrael, Lo Yasu Avel, Lo Yedabru Chazov, those of us that do not pervert justice and do not speak falsely, those people are the ones who ultimately will be able to merit the Geula. And like we're saying, the reason is because the whole point of the Geula is an expression of Hashem's nemanis, Hashem's trustworthiness. So only those people that are trustworthy to their own words, they're able to enjoy and the trustworthiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He fulfills His words in the ultimate sense. The Mishnah starts, Asaychas Apailim V'hitu Zeh Ezeh. The Gemara on Amud Beis says that what that means is that they were chayzer one another. In other words, the Baal Bayis was chayzer in the Payal, or the Payal was chayzer in the Baal Bayis. And the Mishnah says, the halacha is, ein lam zel zeh el terumis. All they're entitled to have is complaints, justified grievances, one against the other. So these halachas are quite relevant, and I just want to take an example to illustrate the various considerations that go into trying to back out after a person has given his verbal commitment to employment. Let's discuss a case. A person has a child, let's say a 4-year-old child. He wants to send him to a backyard camp. He has a neighbor who's doing it. He finds out about the neighbor. He sees that she's a good person to run such a camp. She's efficient. She deals well with children. He's impressed with what he hears. He agrees to send. He verbally commits that he will send his son. He wants a slot in her day camp. He wants to send his son to this day camp. Now, a few late weeks later, he gets a call from his sister. His sister's also making such a camp. She would like to know very much if she can have her nephew as one of the participants in her camp. The sister, of course, has a very good relationship, a very good rapport with his son, and even though he heard good things about his neighbor, it's all hearsay, whereas with his sister, he knows that for sure the son will be well taken care of, and it'll be very good. The son knows the kid's aunt, and it'll be a much better summer for the kid, or at least he's more confident it'll be better summer for the kid if he'll go to his sister rather than going to this neighbor. So now he's faced with a moral dilemma. On the one hand, he gave his word to this neighbor that he wants to use her day camp. On the other hand, he thinks it'll be better for his son to go to his sister's day camp. So what should he do? What are the halachic considerations of such a case? So I just wanted to go, there are a number of areas of halacha that this touches upon. I just wanted to go through them one by one, and Mr. Shem will try and clarify the halacha, and we'll see, it depends exactly what was said and exactly what happened and in the circumstances. Okay, the first consideration to think about is the halacha of Mechusari Emana. We had before, previously, on Daf Mem Tes, that Rabbi Yochanan said that someone who makes a verbal agreement to do something, for example, he says, I'll sell something to you or buy something from you, or he agrees to give a matana muetes, a small thing, he tells someone, okay, I'll treat you to a soda, then the din is that if he's chayzer, he's called Mechusar Emana. The Lashon of Shulchan Aruch and Simei Reish Daled, it's the Zayin is, call a chayzer boy, bein lekech, bein meicher, anyone who backs out, whether it's the buyer or the seller, harezem mechusar emana, he's considered someone who's not 100% trustworthy, vein ruach chachamim noichem menu. And the spirit of chachamim is not happy with what this person is doing. The Sma and Simei Shin Lamed Gimel, Sifkaten Aleph, points out that the same thing is when you agree to hire a worker. There's also a din of mechusar emana. So the first consideration we have to think about is the halach of mechusar emana. Person said to the neighbor that give me a slot, please. I'm going to commit to send my son to your day camp. And now he wants to go back. Is that a problem with mechusar emana? So the mechaber over there just brings down the rule of the kol chayzer midiburay. Anyone who goes back on his word is from mechusar emana. He does not say any exceptions. However, the Rama in the end of the siman brings down that there's a concept of trei tari. Two different shorim, two different prices. And that means, for example, let's say it commits to buying a quart of milk when the price of milk is $2 a container. And then it becomes $1 a container. So now, that's called trei tari. I committed when it was a certain price, now the price changed, and if I was to go through with what I committed, I will be suffering a loss. The question is, am I obligated to go through with my previous commitment? Or could I say that since it changed, I never committed under these circumstances? The Rama over there brings down a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim hold that there is a problem of mechusar emana even with even if the price changed. And other rishonim hold that if the price changed, there's no problem of mechusar emana. The Rama paskins that he says v'chein ikar, that there is a problem of mechusar emana even if there's a price change. That's what the Rama says. However, the Shach over there brings down from the Bach that he's nistapik in this din of trei tari, this din of changing prices, since the Yushalmi, he says, is mavur, that if the price change, there is no problem of mechusar emana. So the Bach is nistapik with halach is. The Goyin seems to also bring down these Yushalmi, and the Rechashulchan paskins l'alach l'maisa, that if there's trei tari, if there's a price change after I committed myself to taking this person to whatever it is I committed myself, so then it's a midas chasidus to go through with my word. Me'ikar din, I'm not obligated to go through with my word. However, there is still a midas chasidus to go through with my word. Now, this is all, of course, for just to point out, this is all for Ashkenazim. that go with the Ramah. However, the Mechaber Saisim would imply that for Sfardim, a person would have to adhere to his word even if there was a price change. So getting back to our case, if Lefi Ra'is Eini Adayin, it truly is better for the kid to go to his aunt's play his aunt's day camp better than this neighbor's day camp, then the person would be able to claim that this is Trey Tari, this is like two different prices, and even though I committed to sending to my neighbor, that's only before I knew that my sister was running a camp. I would be, since I found it afterwards, I would be allowed in the Ikar Adin to send to my sister. Okay, now that's as far as Mechusar Mon goes. However, there's another issue, and that is our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hasoicher se umnim v'hitu zeh zeh, einlam zeh el zeh el trumas." The Gemara says that that's going where people made a verbal commitment to that one person will work for the other person. If one of them wants to back out, the other one is entitled to have to harbor grievances against the person who backed out. Sidua from Yisrael Salanter, that you see from this halacha that terumas has dinim. They have this halacha, when I'm allowed to have a grievance and when not. When is it justified and when is it not justified? But akoponim, it's mivur in this case, that if someone backs out after giving a verbal agreement to employment, the person has a justifiable grievance against him, and of course the person is not, should not enter into such an act that the other person will have a grievance against them. So the question is to determine, in this case, whether there will be such a makom for terumas or not. So Yishayim deal with the discuss what type of case the Mishnah is discussing. What exactly happened in the Mishnah? And really, the shaila, the deeper shaila amongst the Yishayim is, what is the cause of this terumas? This complaint that a person can have against the person who backed out, what is the cause of that complaint? So we see Baker and Yishayim, two mahalchim. Taisis by us and Daf Ayin Vavam and Beis writes that the case of Terumas is that originally they could have had the employees could have had an easy time finding employment, and now it's going to be much harder for them to find employment now that I hired them and then backed out of them. For example, let's say I'm making a chasana, and 2 months from now I hire a band, and now it's very easy to find a band for 2 months from now. A month later, the band decides to back out on me. Now, I could find another band, but I'm going to have to do a lot of work to find this other band. Had the band told me right away that I'm sorry, we can't do this job, then I would have just gone right away to another band and just made another call, and then secured myself another band. But now that they said, now they told me they're going to do it, and they waited till 1 month before the chasana, a month before the chasana, it's much harder to find bands. It could be I have to call and call and call until I ultimately find someone. So they say that's therefore I can have a complaint, a justifiable complaint against this person for backing out on me and making my life a little bit more difficult. That is the way Tysus explains the Mishnah, and that's the reason, according to Tysus, why a person can have complaints. However, the Ramban brings down, seems to learn the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara differently. The Ramban seems to say that there would be applied terumas, the person would be justified to have terumas, even if originally, let's say, they couldn't have found work. And I gave them work, and then I back out on them, and they also can't find work. So there's no extra tircha. According to Tosfos, there would be no room for terumas. You didn't have work before, I gave you some work, now you don't have work, you're in the same position that you found yourself before I started dealing with you. According to the Ramban, in that case, there would be terumas. So it would seem from the Ramban that the reason for the terumas is like the letdown that they have. And I was like, here I thought that I had a job, and now I discover that I don't have a job. So you put me on this roller coaster of emotions. First I thought I had a job, I was very happy and buoyed by this, and now you disappoint me. That's the terumas. I'm entitled to have terumas for that. That is what the Ramban Shita in terumas seems to be. V'shach and Simon Shinlam Givol Sifkat and Aleph brings both of these shitas, and the shach ends off that. However, it would appear that if let's say the employees could easily find work, then nobody holds that there's terumas. And l'chayra, we can understand that even the Ramban, of course, according to Tosfos, if they can easily find work, then there's no terumas, because the whole reason for terumas is that you're causing him extra difficulty in finding employment. So if it's not difficult, then of course there's no terumas. And even the Ramban, that the reason for the terumas is this letdown that he experiences, if now it's easy to find work, there is no real letdown, so there's no room for terumas. So getting back to our case, it would depend on the exact circumstances. If my neighbor has a lot of applicants that would like to go to her day camp, and it's not going to be any trouble for her to find another person to fill the slot, then of course there's no din of terumas, she can't have any tainus on me for taking out, withdrawing my child from her for day camp, and it would be no problem. However, if when I originally committed to sending my child to her day camp, it was easy to find children, there were a lot of children looking for day camps, and now I back out on her at a time when it's difficult for her to find a child, then according to everybody, she will have terumas, a right to have terumas on me, and it really would be improper for me to withdraw without in a unilateral fashion. I would have to work it out with her. If, however, when I signed up, she didn't have anyone waiting to sign up, it would be difficult for her to find children, and now it remains difficult, then there would be subjects of Machlekes, Ramban, and Tosis. According to Tosis, there would be no room for terumas over here, and according to Ramban, she would have justifiable terumas on me. Now the Eitzah, of course, is to work it out, to try and work out a deal with her to make that she shouldn't have terumas. Since terumas is just a grievance she can have against me, I'll be din its mutter. The Eitzah is to give her something, to mefayis her, and to tell her that, listen, I'll give you some sort of payment, and I hope that you don't have any complaints if I withdraw my child, and to try and work something out together with her. Now, there's a third consideration over here that's a little bit different than the first two considerations we had about Mechusar Emunah and Terumas. Those two ideas, Mechusar Emunah and Terumas, al pidin, she cannot take me to Beis Din for any remuneration. It may be a nice thing to try and work something out with her, but al pidin, if I back out on her, there's no din that I have to pay her. However, it is possible that there will be a case where backing out will obligate me to actually pay her. And that is, let's say when I agreed to take up a slot from her, there were a lot of kids, there were kids available for that, they were looking for camps. If I wouldn't have taken the slot, she would have given it to someone else. And now, when I want to cancel on her, when I want to back out on her, now it's a time that people found slots, and she's unable to find someone to fill that slot. Then there would be an issue that she could actually bring me to Beis Din and obligate me to pay for the entire month, the entire session's camp fees. This idea is brought down by Tosis and Ayin Vav on the Beis, Devarav Maskel Ein Lohem, that Tosis says that if originally I hired employees, and they were able to find work, and now I want to back out on them, they can't find work, Tosis says, I have to pay for that loss. And there's before like that in the Rosh also, and the Shulchan Aruch, and Shin Lam Gimel, so Beis also passes like that, that if you hire someone who could have found employment, and now, thanks to you, they can't find employment, the din is you have to pay, and it's called Dina de Garmi. Since I caused them a loss, I was guarding them loss directly by backing out of what I said, and that led to loss, I'm responsible to pay for that loss. Al pi halacha. Just one point that it's before in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch that I do not have to pay the full salary. I can pay kepayel batel. That means there's a certain amount that a person would take less than the original fee, based on the fact that now they could do whatever they like during the time of employment. They do not have to. They don't have to work. So I would be able to deduct. In our case, going back to our case with the day camp, if it's easier, let's say, to be a day camp. To run a day camp, let's say, for 6 kids than it is for 5 kids, so I'd be able to deduct that bit of that little bit of money. But in essence, a person has to pay for what they committed. Now, just one point I wanted to make is that let's say the day camp, the person running the day camp is poor. Now, they have a din ani. They can't really make it, and they have a difficult time making it. And so the halacha, there's a machlekes in the achronim, if an agreement to hire a poor person constitutes a neder l'tzedaka. The Shalos Teshuvos Beis Shloima and Chayshim Mishpat Simin Yud Zayin in the Hagav from the Ben HaMechaber is medayik from the Makna and the Seches Kedushin that there would be a neder if I commit to verbally to a poor person that I'm going to use their services, that would be a constitute a neder l'tzedaka. However, the Marsham in Shas Tshuvas Marsham Chelik Alf Siman Lamaches holds that there is no nether to hire someone does not go into Nidrei Tzedaka, and the other Achronim, the Minchas Pitim, is Mesubik about it. So it's a to point out that there could be a tad of a nether Tzedaka over here. Just one final aura is that the Chavetz Chaim in Sefer Avos Chesed in Dinei Halvah Perek Vav brings down that whenever a person has to hire a person, it's a mitzvah to hire someone who dafka who's a poor person, and it's important when a person has some work to give out. It's kedai to bear in mind these words of the Chavetz Chaim that's a mitzvah, it's a special mitzvah to hire a poor person who needs employment.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.